With you, turn with me to we're continuing the series in the summer, Christ in the Psalms. And if you have a Bible with you, please turn to it. Psalm 127. And again, I want to encourage you guys to bring your physical Bibles. I know we'll have it up here on the transparency, but we want to encourage you guys to bring your own Bibles and also encourage all the children to bring your Bibles to church. And it's a very, very short verse. 21 verse. Psalm 127, verse 1. If you could all rise for the reading of God's Word with me, if you're able. And after I say the verse, I'm going to say, "This is the Word of the Lord." And if you could respond by saying, "Together, thanks be to God." Together with one voice. Psalm 127, verse 1. This is God's word. "Unless the Lord builds a house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." This is a word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right. You may be seated. Getting there. Awesome. Let me pray one more time and ask for God's help. If you could join me. Father in heaven, we have read your word. This is not primarily words of David. These are your words through him. So I pray for help. I did not come with eloquent words or words of wisdom, but a demonstration of your Spirit's power. Your word has power to change us, to go to places in our minds and in our soul that words of men cannot even change or penetrate and strike us at our hearts, at the center of our being, our will, our desires. So I pray for help now, that you do immeasurably more than ever I could ever imagine or think, according to the power that is at work within us. So Holy Spirit, come. Come with power in your truth. Your word is true that will set us free from our bondage of sin and our short-sightedness. Help us to see what you see, I pray. Help us now. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen. The title of the message today is Christ-Centered Service. God through Christ has given us everything that we need to do our job, the plan, to know the plan that God has from beginning to the end, His goal that we should be after, all the resources and the timing and the resources that we need, God's people need to achieve that goal. God has given everything that we need to us, and that is, of course, is in here, in God's Word. Everything that we need, the plan, the goal, the resources, all is here in this book called God's Word. The way we should think about everything, about building God's kingdom, and about today's topic, serving, how to serve. Bible has not left to us to figure out on our own. The kind of a service that God wants us to do in building God's kingdom, He has plainly taught it to us. Have you guys heard of the word burnout? And I've been here at this church not long. It's been, several months. Came here in October. Now it's, what's right now, July, almost August. Is that August right now? Today? August. And I have countless times, not even just this church, but all the churches in the past, of the word burnout. I'm burnt out, Pastor Young. I'm doing too much. Got to cut down. And so, hopefully, this text and other texts might help us not only not to burn out. It seems to me, in general, a lot of Christians trying to find the balance. You know, what is too much and what is too less? You know, can't be doing too much. I think generally we want to do as less as possible, okay? Not too much, and still have God's favor. Whether it's helping the church or laboring any kinds of way. And hopefully this text will help us how to think about laboring for God. And let me read for us again Psalm 127 verse 1. Psalm 127 verse 1, it says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor or serve in vain, to nothing." You know, Jesus said a very similar thing in John chapter 15, verse 5. It's not being transparency, but just let's hear it. John 15, 5. This is what Jesus said. "It is that bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." The word vain means nothing. And before we talk about how to serve, the way we should be serving God and building His kingdom, I want us to define who you are. I think often we must misunderstand who you are. I'm assuming most of us here are Christian, the word Christian. And let me read you a passage in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. The word Christian has kind of evolved over the years, since the early church fathers. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. It says this: "To all of those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be," and this is the word saints. The word saints here is a fancy word. And the early church, this word saint simply meant Christian. During the Middle Ages, the meaning changed from Christian to referring to a certain kind of a Christian who dedicated their entire life to the church, whether it's a monk or a missionary or a hermit or a priest. And now in the Roman Catholic Church, the word saint or the word Christian, it is someone who dedicated their lives and performed one or two miracles. Well, I'm out. I don't know if you have you done any one or two miracles? Raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. I haven't, so I'm out. I must not be a saint. And you're not a saint then. It is unfortunate that we have lost its original meaning, because it actually, the word saint is actually describing every believer, those who are loved by God in Christ Jesus. The Greek word, the Greek word there, the word saint is the word hagias, and it literally means holy one. And this word was borrowed from the Old Testament, and the Old Testament word is the word kadosh. Kadosh means holy. And this word holy in the Old Testament comes from the word, what happened in the temple. And if you guys don't know what happened in the temple there were priests who were performing all kind of rituals and ceremonies. They had all kinds of plates and cups and candlesticks. And they will take common articles like that, okay? And they'll bring it into the temple, and they will sacrifice an animal. Put it, you know, right here, like this. All the articles that are going to be used in the temple, services and ceremonies. And they will sacrifice an animal and take his blood, okay, and sprinkle it onto the articles. And they say this is kadosh. This is now holy. A priest could not take that. Anyone could take that and start using for the kitchen or in the house and use that. No. Now, these articles is only for temple use. It's been set apart only. And this word in the Old Testament is given to every Christian. Now, the precious blood of Christ has been spilled for our sin. And blood of Christ has been, if you're a believer, has been sprinkled on you, covered you, and now you become a Christian or a saint. Now, I love it, the father of missions, when he got converted, William Carey, he realized, he said this statement, he said, when he got converted and became a saint or a Christian, he says, now I realize my life is not my own. Now my life has been made holy. Before, I used it for my own purposes, my own goals, to achieve my own goals. And now I realize that was folly. Now by the blood of Christ has changed me. He has bought me with a great price. Now my life is set apart for God's use alone. Everything about you now, all the resources that you have, all the time you have now, should be for now, for God's use, for God's purposes, for His glory, His exaltation. That's the word Christian. That's the word saint. And then Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, look at what Peter says about Christians. We're not just saints or Christian or holy one set apart for God's use, sprinkled by the blood of Christ. He uses this, attaches this word called priest. Now we're holy priests. Look at it. Look what he says. He says, you yourself like living stone are being built like a spiritual house to be, talking to Christians. Peter is talking to Christians. To be what? Holy, saint, set apart. And then he attaches this word, priesthood. Now, you know what the priests did in the temple? They didn't like just, you know, like, you know, how you and I do it, right? You know, wake up, go to work, right? 8 hours. Some of you guys, 10 hours, whatever hours you work, okay? And then once a week, we come to church and, you know, we come to church and serve and do other things, you know? The priests didn't do that. They lived in the temple. Their lives, 100%, was dedicated to all the things that God has asked them to do. 100% their lives were dedicated to serving God and serving their fellow men. And God is telling you and me, if you're a Christian, if the blood of Christ has been sprinkled on you and now you are holy, now you are holy priests. Our lives, by the blood of Christ, like the priests in the Old Testament, to serve God and to serve our fellow man. I mean, isn't that what Jesus said? The two greatest commandments is summed up, the whole law. It's very interesting that you and I pick and choose what we want to do. And you know, we decide. Yeah, the Bible says certain things, you know. But that's for months. Those were Pastor Young. Pastors, you know, the saints, the holy ones. Not for me. Not true. That is not true. If you are a Christian, you are called holy priests. I'm a holy priest. And our lives are now should be dedicated to serve God and to serve man, to love God with what? All our heart, all our strength, and all our soul. And to what? To love our neighbor as ourselves. That is a Christian. That is not why you were saved. I think some Christians think we're saved from our sins, from the punishment. You got a ticket, see? Ticket to heaven. And then do with our lives whatever we want to do. You know? All Jesus did was to get us a ticket to heaven. We're not going to be punished for my sin, right? We're going to live with God, and now I'm free to do whatever I want. That is not true. I have my own goals, what I want to do with my life here. No. God, if you're holy, if you're a Christian, you've been set apart. Just like priests in the temple, to serve God with all your heart, with all your mind and soul, and to serve man as yourself. You know what? That's what heaven's going to be like. That's what heaven is. It's going to be like that. You know, in heaven, you're not going to be achieving your own goals and what you want to do with your life here on earth. And so, now, hopefully, we'll set the stage. If you're that kind of a person, that's your identity now. Not what you think. Not what I think. Doesn't matter. The reason Christ laid down His life for you and His blood was sprinkled on you is to make you holy priests. Change you every day to be like this. I know. Right now you guys are feeling like, oh, Pastor Young, God, I'm not like 100% God, like priest. I have my own job and I do all these things. I have school. I mean, it's impossible. I know. But you're changing. You want to change. You're thinking about this. More and more every day. Closer to this goal. Less and less affairs of this world. And more you are, your heart is on the affairs of the future, future life. If you remain unchanged, okay? You say you're a Christian, you're like, you know, I guess Bible says this, but you just keep doing what you want to do, your own goals in this life. Be careful. This is what God's plan for you in Christ Jesus is to change more and more like this. You know, I don't know what you know. People say when I say, or if you we all understand that we want to be more like Jesus. Okay, right? That's the goal, right? Amen. More like Jesus. Well, what did Jesus do? What was his heart? He didn't come to do his own thing. He didn't. Over and over and over, who Jesus is, he didn't do his own thing. He didn't do his own will. He didn't have this little side project that he was doing. His life, 100%, was devoted to the glory of God. He was all about God. Every fabric of his being, his thought, his heart, everything was to do the will of God. And you and I want to be more like Jesus, amen? That's what it means. Less and less of you. Less and less of what you want to do with your own life. And more finding out in the Bible what God, if you're a Christian, why God saved you. It becomes personal now. Why he made you a Christian, a holy one. And now here, one other thing is holy priests. And you grow in that life. I know you guys are pastors as your vocation. Doesn't matter. More and more, every day, every month, every year, even though during this COVID-19 year, we are all striving towards to become more like Jesus. Less of me, more of God. Less of my what the agenda I have for my own life. And find out in the Bible what God has for me. You know, I have to burst most of the college students' bubble. Now, they come to college for what? To the glory of God, right? Yeah, right. Come on. Be honest. Be honest. You come to college or to higher education for what? To further your career. Amen? Now, come on. Just be honest here, okay? You don't want to do what your parents did. Or, I don't know, maybe your parents are doctors. You can't achieve that. But, you know what I mean? Your parents' desires to be better, okay? To a higher position than you had, or like, you know, just you won't work for Walmart or something, you know, or, you know, a gas station. I've done all that stuff, okay? But, right? A better life, whatever that is. And you want to get a, you know, the world, right? And if you don't have a college education, I mean, it's hard to, like, work for a lot of companies, you know? It's, they look for that. You know, the way of life. And so you go to college to get an education, to get a degree, so you can apply to companies, and they look for that, right? If you don't have a degree, less chance that you will actually get hired to those top 5 companies or top 10, whatever those companies are. We know this world. And they think that's the goal of the life, of life, college life. And that is not true. I mean, be all you can be. I remember I did one sermon at Cornell University. You are here as a college student, a freshman college student, not as a student first, okay? But as a, I said, is that word, a Christian first. You are holy one. You are holy priests. I'm not saying lazy and don't study, okay? Study. Be all you can be. But that is not your call. I've heard many people say that to other people, other Christians, pastors say that. Your call to be a student first, okay? Forget God. You know, God's on hold right now. That is not true if you're a Christian. And so you're a Christian first. It's God first. All right. And then, look at what he says in 1 Peter chapter 4. Here's how kind of a service that God wants, Christ-centered service. Look at it, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves, how? If you're interested in serving, we're talking about serving, right? You serve, how? By the strength that God supplies. In order that, the purpose, that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, the way we should be serving, the Christ-centered service is, we get service or get strength from God. I think one of the reasons why we burn out, okay, in the church, because we're not getting the strength, right? We're trying to serve with our own strength, with our own resources, right? And that's one of the reasons why we feel so burnt out, so empty. We don't have the strength. Of course, if you are trying to serve with your own strength, your own resources, without God's strength, of course you're going to burn out. One who serves by the strength that God supplies, so God gives you strength, and with that strength, you serve. See? You're not empty anymore. Actually, you are filled, and you are extending that strength and service to others. And that's what he says here. And what's the purpose? Not for your own glory. Not for people to say, oh, Pastor Young, good job. Damn, man, you've been a praise leader for all these years. How do you do it? Good job, brother. Oh, thank you. I feel appreciated. I feel, I'm significant in this church. I'm not a nobody. No one wants to be a nobody, right? I want to be somebody. No, that's not the purpose of serving. It doesn't matter about me. It's not about you. It's about God. And how do you get this strength here? Let me, go quickly and give you three reasons. And search our hearts. When I hear from other Christians, and they open up to me a little bit, and they seem that I'm burnt out, or I feel like frustrated. I bet you one of these things are neglected in your life. Here's one. The strength that God gives, yes, we need to ask for it. Ask. You don't have to go, you don't ask. And if you say, oh God, now, look, give me strength. I understand this verse here. I want the strength that you provide so I won't burn out. Now extend that to other people. And you pray for that. Well, God has already given you the resources for that strength. And the first one is God's word. Psalm 119, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving, giving joy, right? Strength. I love it when that happens to me. When I open my Bible in the morning or whenever I open the Bible and I read and I try to ask questions, where is God here? Where is His glory? And when I understand a text, you know what happens to me? I feel like I'm a strength of 10 men. I feel so excited. I'm jumping up and down. I want to share with other people that I saw this truth. Others, they will know it and they will find strength and joy. Ever happened that to you when you read your Bible and you actually understand what it's saying? You know the truth of this Bible. And I feel like at that moment, I feel like I could conquer the world. Problems become small. Then it's become like a huge giant that I can't conquer, and I worry. And I don't know what happens to me. I don't know what to do. That kind of a panic. That doesn't happen. Problem that seems gigantic in my life becomes not that big. Because God becomes bigger. God becomes stronger. And He's giving me that strength. So His word, how is your Bible reading or whatever a plan that you have every morning, every day? How's it going? People who are burnt out, people who are irritated and stressing out and panicking about a lot of things in life, one of the first things that's neglected is this right here. The Bible. Not just reading it, but meditating on it. Digging for the treasures. It might take 15 minutes, it might take 30 minutes, it might take an hour, I don't know. But you're digging for the treasures. Going past the surface, and you're getting strength from the Word, the truth, and you're seeing it. And that strengthens you. That revives you. How are you doing with your personal devotion, a personal Bible study? One of the things that gets often sort of sidetracked when we get busy in life, have you noticed? Is this. Work gets busier. Life gets busier. My wife is pregnant with our fourth kid, you know, three young kids. And when does she have time to read her Bible? No. She must. Not only should I want to burn out and take care of the kids, if I don't want to burn out in serving as a pastor of this church, I need to be in God's Word, studying it, meditating upon it. So where is your Bible study, Bible reading to revive your soul, strengthen your soul, so you could serve? Number two, look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Exodus 15, verse 2. Exodus 15, verse 2. The Lord is what? Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. And that's prayer. Word and prayer. Corporate prayer, individual prayer. To gain strength from God. You know, prayer is one of the things that are probably most neglected in the Christian life. In the Bible, you know, it's easier. You know, prayer is like, God is spirit. I mean, I can't really see Him, right? The Israelites always struggled with that. They were always going to an idol or a god that they could see, the Baal and Ashtoreth. And it's hard. It's hard to pray to God who is spirit, who you can't really touch and see necessarily with our physical senses. Prayer for me is one of the hardest things. Though one of the most important things in gaining strength, and yet is one of the most neglected by the Christian. And there are a lot of reasons. I don't want to get to that. There are a lot of reasons why Christians neglect this thing called prayer life. In most churches, most churches have, the prayer group. Or prayer life is not thriving by and large. It starts great and then it starts, going like this. It's like a retreat. Retreat, man, spiritual high, right? All kinds of goals, and then you come back to real life and then it goes like this, and you have all kinds of goals for Bible reading and prayer, and then it gets, pretty good, for a month or two, and then it goes like this. So how is your prayer life? How are you praying? What are you saying to God? One of the reasons, I'll give you one reason why I think prayer doesn't work. And it might shock you. Hopefully it doesn't shock you, but we're not doing it right. This is what Jesus says, how we should pray. Right? And the reason He's teaching us how to pray is because very many people in the church don't know how. There's a certain way to approach God. There's a certain way to ask things for God. And it's kind of like, when my kids come in early in the morning and say, "Oh, Dad, can I have a popsicle?" At 7 in the morning. I'm guilty. I'm sorry. I have done it once. Okay, my wife will kill me. She doesn't know. But usually, that's not the exactly way you ask us, for popsicle. Usually, popsicle is for like dessert, after lunch, or after dinner. It's a certain way. It's a certain way we come to God. There's certain things that He wants to hear from us when we pray. When you come to God and say, "Give it to me now." No? This is what I need. Now. And if He doesn't answer you, then there goes prayer. It doesn't work. And so prayer, how's your prayer life? In gaining strength. And number three, I'm running out of time here. Number three is fellowship. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Look at the early church fellowship. Their fellowship revolved around not just the event and food, okay? And they devoted themselves to the what? Apostles' teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. So this fellowship, I love fellowship. You know, fellowship to me is centered around not the event, okay? Two Christians together and playing basketball. You know, all right. If you want to call that fellowship, great. You know, I like hanging out with Sam and Joe and other people and playing sports, you know, and go cycling, right? We've been to all kinds of places, right? Ontario Beach and Spencer Port and you know, around the lake, you know, all that stuff. With mostly my Christian friends, you know, and love that, okay? But I don't think that's really what the word fellowship, the biblical fellowship is. Fellowship is centered around truth. Fellowship is centered around Christ. That's what the early church did when they got together. I love that. I love when I get around, you know, around Christians and they tell me about the things that, stuff that they learn in the Bible. You know, and they show me what they saw. I love that. I love those kinds of fellowships. You know, talking about the truth. You know, about things that, you know, not just about their work, not just about their but their struggles with their own sin. You know, and this is what the Bible helped them, you know, do or whatever. I love that kind of fellowship. That's why I love our men's fellowship. We meet every Wednesday in the college men's fellowship. I love those times. You know, more than, honestly, more than the basketball, more than the cycling around together. You know. Those are precious times when we encourage each other, spur each other. Okay? Common goal. Word. How we doing? Prayer. And to fellowship. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, He's supplying strength to you by those three things. How are we doing? If you are vibrant in those things, not because I just tell you to do it, okay? And dragging your feet, oh, Pastor, you don't tell me I gotta read my Bible every day, you know? Oh, you know, and, oh, okay, and then you got to get something out of it. You know what I mean? It has to feed you. You got to eat. It's be precious to you. It strengthens your faith. And prayer and fellowship. There isn't anyone that I've said, almost often when someone says they're they're burnt out. One or many of those, if not all of them, is not strong. Often it's neglected. Often. And you could hide it so well. Some people in the church could hide it so well. You know, they're not really giving it to the Bible. You know, only on Sundays. Right? They're not in the fellowship among Christians in the truth. In small groups or accountability groups or what kind of groups. They're not in the prayer that's at the door. We only pray when there's a crisis in our life. You know? Then we tend to, and we're serving, right? Serving a lot in the church, in the board, and praise team leader, and do this and do that. And then you start to burn out. And so that's a secret, I think. The kind of a service that God wants and God's pleased with, where He gets to all the glory, not with your strength. Is the strength that He provides through the Word, through prayer, through fellowship, and He supplies the strength, is overflowing, and you extend that. You know, you could tell when someone is dragging their feet in serving God. Probably it's good to take some time off then, you know, and examine what's going on, you know, what's going on in your personal life.
in the word and prayer and fellowship.
Let me leave you with one final verse here. It's not on the transparency. That's kind of, unless the Lord builds, those who labor, labor in vain. That kind of labor, God wants you to partner up with God in serving Him and building His kingdom and building. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'll leave you with this, we're running out of time. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 19. Just listen carefully. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Kidding me? Paul? He's the greatest prophet. What is he? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Paul's talking here, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he plants nor he watered is anything. It's nothing. We're nothing. All the labor, even if we are supplied by God through the word and prayer and fellowship, it is nothing. It is in vain if the Lord is not in the program. If He's not building. You know, often I think Christians kind of say, oh, I'm doing this and God is in it. You know? I'm a Christian. He has to be in it. That's not true. God has His own plans, a whole program for you and I of His kingdom and building His kingdom. Just because you say, I'm a Christian and I have my own project here, and God, you got to be in this project, you know? You kind of bring Him in. Because I prayed. Felt good. No, God has His own plan. His own project, His own goal. And He has saved you to be in His program, in His goal. And if you are on the same program, yes. If you say you are in the same program and you're doing your own thing, that is not how we... And so, if we're on the same program and serving God, then God will give the growth. He who plants nor he waters anything, but only God who gives the growth. And that's why we should, anything that we do as a church, as a Christian, we should be praying and seeking Him. Checking the Bible and checking your own thing and see if this fits with what He's doing. Is it? And so, unless the Lord builds, the laborers labor in vain. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you would teach us more and more your plan for this world and your plan for us has been already shown to us. We are holy priests. We are sons and daughters of the King and His kingdom. Oh Lord, I pray that we will be in program, in step with what you are doing from all eternity. Help us, I pray. Teach us, give us knowledge of what's going on. And I pray that you would help us. You give us wisdom and how to serve you with the strength that you provide through your word, through prayer, and to fellowship with one another. So, Lord, I pray that you would continue to lead us in your truth, by your truth, I pray. So that we might, Lord, serve you in the way that you are pleased. That you might get all the glory. I pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen.